echo. We leave Liriope, joyfully thanking Tiresias at the Temple of Hera in Thebes, and travel a short distance over to the foothills of Mount Helicon, where the streams and meadows outside the township of Thespiae were filled with the comeliest nymphs in all Greece. So comely that they often received visitations from Zeus himself, whose weakness for a comely nymph we have already noted. The Oread Echo was not the least comely of these, but she did have one personality trait which caused Zeus and other potential suitors to be wary of her. She was the most tremendous talker. A compound of village gossip, nosy neighbour, and over-solicitous best friend, Echo found it impossible to hold her tongue. There was nothing malicious about her prattling. Indeed, she often went out of her way to speak up for her friends, to cover for them, praise them, and paint them in the best light. There was an element of vanity here, for she had a lovely voice, pretty in both speech and song. Like many people gifted with a mellifluous tongue, she loved to exercise it. She was protected, to some extent, by the goddess Aphrodite, who admired her singing, which was always in praise of love. In short, Echo was a romantic. Her detractors might call her sentimental, and even slushy, mushy, and gushy, but they could not deny her good intentions and fullness of heart. Zeus enjoyed visiting Echo's sister Oreads and cousin Naiads in secret, and Echo enjoyed being a confidant and best friend to them all. It rather thrilled her to think that her relations and companions were having liaisons with Zeus, the cloud-gatherer and king of the gods himself. It was a secret she loved to hug to herself. Hera had always been suspicious of Zeus's absences, but recently they had become prolonged. She heard from a chaffinch loyal to her that it was the lower slopes of Helicon that her husband had been visiting, so she decided one golden afternoon to make her way there and see if she could catch him in the act of betrayal. She had barely dismounted from her chariot when a mountain nymph skipped up to her, bubbling with inconsequential chatter. It was Echo in full, voluble flow. "Queen Hera!" Hera drew up her eyebrows. "Do I know you?" "Oh, Majesty," cried Echo, falling to her knees. "How lucky we are to see you here! What honour you do us! And in your chariot, too! Is it permitted to feed the peacocks, to have a god of Olympus here? I cannot remember the last time an Olympian deigned to take notice of us. It is such, surely, my husband Zeus is a regular visitor to these woods and waters." Echo knew full well that Zeus was not far away on a river bank doing improper things with a pretty river nymph. Her love of intrigue, drama, and romance now drove her to protect the pair. With tumbling torrents of inconsequential babble gushing from her like water from a fountain, she guided the goddess's footsteps in the direction away from the river bank. "There is a very fine ilex tree just in this clearing, Majesty, which I was thinking of consecrating to you, with your permission. Excuse me? Zeus? Oh, no, I've never seen him here." "Really?" Hera fixed Echo with a hard stare. "I heard a rumour that he was here now, this very day." "No, no, my queen, no, no, no. In fact, a servant of the Muses came down from Helicon just half an hour ago to draw water from our stream, and he mentioned specifically that today mighty Zeus is in Thespiae, honouring his temple there."
"Oh, I see. Well, I thank you."
Hera nodded curtly and uncomfortably, returned to her chariot, and flew off into the clouds.
It is mortifying to be witnessed trying to catch your husband out. Echo skipped away, pleased to have been useful to her fellow nymph and to Zeus. In all fairness, she would have been just as happy to have been protecting a mortal pair of lovers. It delighted her to ease the path of all lovers everywhere. She had never really felt love herself, except the love of helping others to love, which she felt was the highest love of all. So selfless was she that she never even bothered to tell Zeus or her sister of her useful act, which someone hoping for a reward would most certainly have done. She sang as she gathered flowers and felt that the life of a nymph was a good life.